Everybody, and welcome to the Niche Podcast about the one thing I know something about: game shows, I suppose. I should really change it and be like game shows, I suppose, or game shows, I suppose. There's a comma in the title. It's Patreon exclusive. Today's episode, we'll be talking about Click, an obscure game show from the early 2000s. I think 90s, if we're being mistaken. I don't know the exact date. I should really have looked it up beforehand, shouldn't I? It started out September 6, 1997. So it was a 90s game show. All right. Well, that's fun enough. Anyway, this is an interesting game show, to say the least. If you know game shows, you will know who Merv Griffin is. Merv Griffin is one of the iconic talk show hosts and one of the voices and faces behind iconic game shows, such as Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy. We've talked about Jeopardy before, that ambassador to game shows, the All-American Quiz Show. We've talked about Wheel of Fortune before, the game that's all about play-along value. And this is his newest creation, shall we say. This was the 90s, and these dang old teenagers are on the gosh dang computer. So Merv Griffin created a quiz show themed around computers and called it Click. Now, this is going to surprise you. The dude was really smart even in the 90s. He is one of the weirdest people in terms of being forward thinking that I have ever seen. If you're ever wondering why Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy always looked futuristic back in the 90s, it was Merv Griffin. 2000s, the same. It's because it's his show and he's always looking for like what's next ahead in the game. And Click is based on computers. And as we all know, Jeopardy was basically all computers even back then in the 80s. And now, with days, Click was kind of computers and internet. They're trying to be a teenage game show. And the idea of calling it Click was because of course, the old computer mouse doing the clickety-click. I feel like that's kind of the worst thing to say when you give. Sorry, just dawned on me. Like, people are paying money for me to talk about game shows. You're paying $5, I think, on Patreon for this. And here's my factoid: Click is named after a mouse doing clicks. Wow, that's. I'm so sorry. But Merv Griffin, not only having a sense of detail when it came to his quiz show, also saw eye in a new host. And this is a guy he said will be the next big thing. And his name is Ryan Seacrest. We've recently talked about Ryan Seacrest with things like Wild Animal Games. But this would be the one of the few shows that people would remember Ryan Seacrest in the world of quiz shows. We've already talked about Gladiators 2000 on the show. We've talked about American Idol. We haven't really talked about his production roles in Keeping Up the Kardashians, because that's a reality show. But this is another Seacrest production, Click. And I'll be honest, of all of the shows that Ryan Seacrest hosted, this one's my favorite. I love Click. Oh boy, Click to me when I was a teenager. Well, then again, it was 97, so I was 8, so I wasn't really a teenager. was a show that I did enjoy. It aired in syndication from what I remember, and this is just my own fuzzy memory. It aired the same time as, gosh, Peer Pressure on, I believe, UPN 13 here in Los Angeles, but I could be mistaken. And the idea, it was KCAL 9. And the idea was that because Peer Pressure was a teen show and Click was a teen show, we have an hour-long game show syndicated block for teenagers on Saturday mornings when the kids are watching cartoons because teens still watch television. Peer Pressure, we've already talked about that show, and it's really crappy themes on that. Wow, 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 wow. But Click, oh my god, that is one catchy theme tune. That is one of my favorite theme tunes in game shows. When I was like a kid, that was stuck in my head in class. Click, click, doo 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 doo. Click, click, doo 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 doo. Click, click, doo 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 doo. And it just, maybe that's how it goes. So, first season aired in Los Angeles. Season two, for budgetary reasons, they moved it to Washington. Which was kind of weird, but I mean, game show's a game show, and they'll go wherever it's needed. So, if you've never seen Click before, and it's a 90s obscure game show, it's a quiz show with three teams of two. A green team, a yellow team, and a red team. Typically boy-girl, much like a Double Dare. And the idea was that it was played in basically three levels. I'm putting in air quotes. It's rounds, like any game show. Level one was basically one player stands at the... It's like a speed round. One person gets 90 seconds, and they push the buzzer, which looks like a giant mouse. So when they push the buzzer, instead of like a psh noise like or a boop noise or any sort of noise that you normally associate with a quiz show buzzer, it instead had this cyberspace sounding warble of psh psh noise. And wherever the laser pointer randomizer, like press your luck, landed on, that is what the category will be and the question. So it was either $25, $50, $75, or $100. It's one of those four increments. And then one of those values is the double click. And that's worth double value, and it's a much more difficult question. It doubles the entire score. It's not $100. It doubles the entire score in the 90 seconds. Kind of like a daily double. And then, like, if they didn't get it right, or if they had no money in their bank, it goes to $100. So they hit the, if it's a category, they answer a question, so it's like history or literature or math. But then there were gimmicks. There was the website, and there was the, I believe they, in season one, they called it the Word Wizard, and then season two was the Chat Room. And then season three, they threw all of those categories out the window and made it the hard drive. So just so we don't complicate things, it only lasted two seasons. In season one, it was either you're at the board answering questions or you had to run over to some part in the studio to answer a question. A website was usually like name a famous person based on an email. Or here's a photo clue or video clue or sound clues. And then in the Word Wizard, it was like, what does this word define? What is this from? Which is the correct way to spell a word. Basically, if you haven't figured this out yet, the Word Wizard chat room space was the Merv Griffin selection screen. Because if I haven't explained it that much before, Merv Griffin really loves linguistics. He really loves definitions. He really loves wordplay. He loves crossword puzzles. So this is basically the crossword puzzle clue-solving part of the show. Hey, I'm giving you a definition. What's the right word? What do you do with a fugal horn? Like, that's the kind of clues you would see in the Word Wizard / chat room. And in season two, all of the category literature stuff goes to a third area of the studio called the hard drive, which I thought is actually kind of clever because that's actually kind of, you know, something related to computers as well. So now they have to push the button, run over to someplace, run back, push the button, run over, go back, push back, and back and forth for 60 seconds to 90 seconds. I like to say 90 seconds. And it's always worth anywhere between $25 to $100, with a double click being a 1 in 16 chance to double their entire score. Wowie zowie. So I figured that's kind of a really fun way of looking at quiz shows. It's just kind of like, what if Press Your Luck mixed with a category selector with trivia questions? And not only that, it was randomized. The only thing that was not randomized was the flow of which the questions show up. So that was already strict during the show. But like but other than that, everything is randomized when it comes to the show. And that's the end of round one. So player one goes 60 seconds, and then team two, the green team maybe goes 60 seconds, then the red team goes 60 seconds, and that's it. So then we go into round two. And normally I know what you're saying. Well, round two means dollar values are double. No. This time around, in round two, it's all about control. Now it becomes a control-based game show. Whoever is in last place gets control of the mouse, which is, I feel like, the part of Click That I kind of remember and recall, which I love the most. So now one team is in control of the mouse, and they push buttons, and they get to answer questions. So if it lands on a category, they run to the board, they go to the chat room, or they go to the word wizard, I know they're the same, or they go to the hard drive, and they answer a question or a category, because just like in round one of season one. If they're right, they keep getting money added to their bank, but there's a catch. If they answer incorrectly, the other teams can buzz in at their respective podiums like a game show, ring in, and be like a spoiler. If they get it correct before they can, they get control of the mouse, and they can build up their bank. Oh, yes, that is how level two works. And also, there is kind of like a whammy on the board now called the virus or crash. If the team lands on the virus or crash during the round, the game is sort of paused for a bit. I mean, there's still a clock running. And a toss-up question is asked to the other two teams. If any of them buzz in with the answer correctly, they get control of the mouse. If neither of them answer it correctly, then the team can still continue playing along and buzzing in for money. And that's kind of all it is. It's like a fun catch-up round to try and get King of the Hill. The more you stay on, the more money you make in this one round. And now we go into level three. Level 3 is the final round of Click. The winner goes on to the bonus round. So in this type of round, all of the players get to stand somewhere on the board. So someone stands at the word wizard. Someone stands at the emails. And the other ones stand at the hard drive. I'm drawing a blank right now. I don't know what I'm saying. one is standing at the hard drive, one standing at Word Wizard, and one standing at the website. So those are your three stations, and there's one from each team. So a green person's at the website, a red player is at the Word Wizard, and the yellow player is over at the hard drive. Or on the big screen in season one. So what happens is Ryan Seacrest, that's right, the man himself, Seacrest, pushes the buzzer. He hits the mouse pad, and whatever it lands on, that's where we go. And it's all 1 in 3 shots of, so it's even splits between Word Wizard or website, and every correct answer is worth $100. So now it's no matter what, $100. And it's all a big catch-up speed round. If you're wrong, however, the other player, the other teammate, is over at the toss-up buzzers from level 2, and they can smash the buzzer, and they can lock in with the correct answer and steal the $100 from you, which makes it even more fun. Now, this is what makes it fun. It's like, after every few questions, a voice will go, and everyone has to run to their their teammates, and more questions will be asked. Whoever scores the most money at the end of this game basically wins the show, keeps their money, and goes on to play for a brand new computer. Everyone else just gets consolation prizes. So everyone gets money, but the winning team keeps their money and goes on to play for... Everyone gets paid. Basically, I'm trying to say, everyone gets the money. It's not like Jeopardy where you get, like, booby prizes. It's not like Double Dare where they, like, hey, remember when we got $600? Psych. No. Everyone gets their $400 or so. So now we go to the bonus round. The bonus round is just called the bonus round. So it is kind of Where in the World's Carmen Sandiego-ish. In each... Now, the prize was a monorail computer. Say it with me. Monorail, mono-dough. To win the computers, because that's the grand prize. That's your fantasy vacation, shop till you drop, whatever. You have to just get 3 correct answers in 45 seconds. The catch is that each of the questions are now allocated to some place to go. So it's not at the central panel, except for season one. You have to run over to email. You have to run over to the chat room. You have to run. So it just becomes like a pacing game. You have to run over to unlock the question, then answer it, then come back. If you can get 3 right in 45 seconds, you win computers. If not, however, it's still kind of like Legends, where you get, for 1 correct answer, 1 prize, 2, you get this prize. But all 3, you get a computer. In Season 2, they bump the time up to 60 seconds, but the ruling is now you get $100 for each correct answer no matter what happens. However, if you get 3 correct answers in a row, you win the computers. So there's more time on the clock, but now instead of just any 3, you have to get 3 in a row to win. And I thought that was kind of like a different take on the speed round game show. And I kind of like it because there was a bit of frantic behavior because it's all these teenagers running around the studio trying to get to positions. And I always thought that was kind of a fun appeal to click. So that's kind of it in terms of gameplay. That sums it up, is it's a team quiz show. And I thought that was kind of neat. All right, so one of the things that I wanted to talk about when it comes to Click is, yeah, it only lasted 2 seasons, and it's often very forgettable. Ryan Seacrest, of course, was the host, and that's kind of the only thing people kind of vaguely remember about the show. They don't remember the announcer Amber Bonasso. So I will go into it. Amber, I feel like she got the burnt end of the stick. Like, any time someone's around Seacrest, it's always the Dunkelman. Amber was kind of like the co-host of the show. And much like Dunkelman, kind of fell off the wayside. Even though she is an actress, she's a stunt actress. She does a lot of stunt work. She's a fight choreographer. She's pretty active on Twitter, mind you, and she has like a slight sense of humor, and I kind of like her currently. It kind of just that's the only thing that makes me all sad, is it's like, oh, and then this person exists. And her job was basically that of the announcer of, like, hey, this is what the computer is. And then season 2, more Seacrest doing the Seacrest thing of, I'm going to do the announcing. I will say the clothing has been provided by Old Navy, because the clothing was provided by Old Navy. Telltale signs. I think it's Seacrest just knifing these poor people, just trying to get their brush with fame here. But one thing I really love about Click, besides the fact it's a team show, and there's like a luck-based element, and the questions are kind of clever, and it has that Merv Griffin wordplay aspect, is that the set looks like a computer in the 90s. Like, there is a giant fake hard drive. Like, you know, the classic disc-based hard drives of the 90s. Plastered in the studio. Lots of faux memory chips lying around. I mean, whoever did the art design or set design for Click deserves, like, a high five. Because it was practically just an art piece. Like, they just went to, like, a CompUSA, said, give me the cheapest computers we can find. Like, the oldest computers possible, the ones that don't work anymore, can we just take them apart, get the motherboards, and just, like, glue them to be a giant panel wall and stick it behind the contestants so it gives the appearance of they're in cyberspace? Because that's kind of what it looked like, and it was really cool. There was also a plexiglass floor. With the plexiglass floor having some faux, I'm going to assume it's like, you know, like in swimming pools, like when they do Olympic size laps, those little tube snakes, they had a few of those and they put them in the plexiglass. So it looked like computer wires. And I will say that was also like plexiglass, like clear plexiglass flooring. Started, I think, on Click before it did Millionaire as a technology thing. And also, I have to point this out, there's stunts in this. Now, when I mean stunts, I don't mean like mini games that the contestants have to do or dares. No, the show starts every time by Ryan Seacrest, hyped up on whatever candy he has, jumping over a crowd of people before high-fiving everybody in the audience and on the set and going, ah, thank you, everyone, we're on the Click! No. And by jumping over the crowd, originally it was over the crowd, and the crowd was maybe 10 people. And then it slowly became, well, I'm not going to jump over their heads because I don't want to kick somebody in the face. So I'm going to jump over their laps. And then it sort of became, yeah, I'm just going to just leap to this empty space that maybe just be 2 feet. And everyone's going to assume I jumped over because maybe the staff was like, maybe don't jump over the audience because they don't have insurance. That's what I'm assuming. Anyway, it's Ryan Seacrest. And the music was a sign of teens at the time. It was techno-electro music. It was upbeat techno music that made it feel like a dance party was going on in the middle of a boring quiz show. Like, it was like, what river did George Washington cross in New England? The Potomac? Correct! Swerve, 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 swerve! Kind of thing. It just, it was so weird. So, with just out of the way, like, there's so many little mechanics of this game that's kind of cool. The fact that there's teams in this doesn't make it like Jeopardy, obviously. But also, it has this weird mix of, like, control and passability and category choice and random luck that I felt kind of enjoyable. Really, it was all, if I had to give, like, the negatives, it's Seacrest as a host. Now, Seacrest is very enthusiastic. It's clear he liked the show and hosting it, but when it came to reading clues and questions, I didn't buy him as a quiz show host. Also, the takeaway from the game, because that's usually how we end these podcasts, it's two seasons, and the takeaway with this show is that computers are cool. Thank you. No, the takeaway for a show like Click was that Merv Griffin was always ahead of the curve. And he always knew what was like the next step in terms of game shows and entertainment. And, I mean, this is one of those rumor mills, season 3 did not show up, but I could only assume, and this is not a fact, this is just my assumption, if season 3 was a thing, they would have had questions sent in from the audience. Because there was a whole feedback website for Click, and they even had like send your questions for Click. And I don't think they ever aired in season two. So I'm led to believe that season three was going to have like community questions. So it's going to like, hey, if you give us a question and we use it, you get a Click t-shirt or something. But they didn't. They never got their season three. But considering like what the images and photos and fake downloads and the sound effects, the library, all of the mechanics of this game, the laser light beam that looks like they just got a cat with a mouse pointer. Everything about it is so cool, and I enjoy it. But it was a sign of the times. This was as late 90s game show as it could possibly get, right down to people in the audience wearing Junko jeans. It was that bad. Old Navy shirts. Polo shirts for Seacrest. Very tight. See his biceps. He had a really bad tan and bleached. Like, it was Hollywood Seacrest before Hollywood Seacrest. What if we got this big tan guy with bleached hair and biceps and real bad teeth whitening to go, hey, guys, welcome to Click! Just amazing. But it leads me to this question. As much as I love this show, could this work in a modern age? And normally I like to think of, yes, it can, because there's lots of info and you can easily change things up. Like, the direct message is, who slid into your DMs? Or it would be questions about pop culture or high trivia, all sorts of things. Like, yeah, you're on this streaming website. Watch this. Do-do-do-do-do. Buffering video. Who did this? Because those could all work in today's internet-savvy world. We're all online. Our education system through the pandemic was done online. But it's not, it's now too passé. I mean, yes, kids still use a mouse and keyboard. I mean, that's like 1997 is 97. That's over 23 years ago at this point. Oh, 23 years ago. Well, You could try and do like smartphones, make it like a smartphone theme and call it Double Tap. Tap, tap, do, 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 do. Tap, tap, do, 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 do. It doesn't, I don't know if it works that way. But, I mean, there's something about the mechanic of random luck with a category and controls and RAM selection. Like, a lot of the game mechanics work and still could work. I think what did him in was the fact that this was in syndication for teenagers and Saturdays. And teenagers in Saturdays, especially in the afternoons, they don't watch TV. They usually go to the mall. They go hang out with their friends. If they were me, they played video games. They were online chatting with friends on AIM. They were at the movies. They were getting their driver's license. They were at the Walmart. They were eating a pizza. They were doing all sorts of things, just not watching Click. And I think the ratings just slipped. The money wasn't there, so they had to end it. Is this a sign that Merv Griffin was not the best at game shows? Maybe. Because, I mean, like, other game shows would exist, too. Like, Merv Griffin's Crosswords. Game shows of the past. Like, Monopoly. Real early one-and-dones. But shows like Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy are still on the air to this day. So it got me asking this question. This is kind of why I wanted to do a Click episode. As much as I love Click, and as much as I love the show with the team mechanics and the buzzer being the buzz and all the theming, why is it that those two shows worked for Merv, but nothing else? Because, I mean, Challengers, I think, was one of his, and that was just kind of a, you know, a prediction kind of game. You pick a category and you ring on the buzzer. I have to do that eventually. But why would Wheel and Jeopardy succeed where this show failed? And I'm going to take a bet. Because this is what I want to end the show on. Because Click, could it survive? Yes. But will it? No. Because there's nothing clicky in Clicks. And unless it's like clickbait, which case, yes. Clickbait is amazing. That came out wrong, but, you know, clicks still exist, but if you're new Click modern day, it's going to be more pop culture based and clickbaity and BuzzFeedy and sort of like flashy. You would be getting like TikTok stars to be the host. And it would have to be really quick. And I don't know if that really works in terms of a game show. But I could see it happening. But why would Wheel and Jeopardy succeed where these shows fail? I would say it's that package. Wheel and Jeopardy, when it started in syndication back in the late 80s, early 90s, was kind of seen as like a really cool time because syndicated television was kind of hot and cool. Wheel and Jeopardy were kind of hot game shows of the 80s, too. Alex Trebek's Jeopardy was a reboot of a pre-existing Jeopardy. Wheel of Fortune with Pat Sajak was the superior one to Chuck Woolery. So what you saw was refreshing looks at the game show that they knew, packaged in syndication, and because it was that package deal of Wheel and Jeopardy, it sort of felt like a yin-yang. I'm going to argue this was because it's a yin-yang relationship for Wheel and Jeopardy. Because when it comes to like game shows, I always hear this. It's, are you a Wheel or a Jeopardy? Wheel or Jeopardy? Jeopardy, Wheel, Wheel, Jeopardy. Which one do you like more? And I would say when you're a kid, Wheel. And then when you get older, Jeopardy. But, you know, both of those shows are iconic in their own ways. But Jeopardy is such a hard quiz. It's such a cerebral game that requires knowing things, ringing in fast, buzzing in, like a classic quiz show. While as Wheel of Fortune, it's a passive game. Instead of being more active and trying to, like, there's all these quizzes. It's one puzzle for 5 minutes and trying to figure that out. And it's Hangman, which is more luck-based. You're guessing a letter. You're guessing the puzzle. You hope the luck happens. It's more luck than it is skill of ringing in and answering questions. But there is a bit of intelligence. There's that slimmer of it on Wheel of Fortune because of the fact of some of the categories or clues or what are you doing or if you can figure out the fill in the blank, you win. A before and after also for Wheel of Fortune. Whereas for Jeopardy, it is hardcore skill, but there is that glimmer of luck in terms of finding the daily double, in terms of what's the category selection in a round of Jeopardy, because you don't know everything. You hope your skill sets are featured on the board. And that's the other part of Jeopardy. So there is like, it's a dichotomy relationship between Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy. Because one is totally luck and totally skill, and you feel smart because you're playing along and you can solve the puzzle before the contestants. Jeopardy, you play along and you feel stupid half the time because you don't know any of the clues and the correct responses. And I think that's kind of the relationship. One is very smart and intelligent, and the other, and I don't mean this insultingly, is very stupid. It's very silly. It's very, it's not meant for stupid people, obviously. I'm not trying to. It is sort of a game show where anybody can play. That's what I kind of meant to say. It's an everybody can play kind of game versus a you have to have a select skill space to play it. Even though it's so easy to play. And both of those shows are easy to explain. Because Jeopardy, get it right, you get money, get it wrong, you lose money. Wheel of Fortune, guess a letter. Keep guessing until you solve the puzzle, hit it wrong, or hit one of the random spaces. Play goes to the next player. And that's it. That's the game. You can sum it up in a sentence. With any of these other Merv Griffin shows I have explaining, from Click to Monopoly to Merv Griffin's Crosswords, it's a series of if-then statements. For Wheel of Fortune, if you don't guess correctly, the opponent plays next. That's the if-then. But for, like, a Click, if you ring in and it's the virus, then it goes to the opponent. If it lands on this, then you gotta go here. If this is a this, then you answer the question on stage. And I think that complicates things. And I think that really happened with Merv Griffin's Crosswords, where it's if you didn't get the clue correctly, the spoilers can answer on your behalf, and if they get it right, they can take possession of your podium. What? That no. So, while I'm going to still investigate Merv Griffin's Crosswords, I think the end takeaway for Click is sometimes game shows are too far ahead and they're too advanced, but people don't want to watch contestants play for a computer. I think if you were a teenager, you would want to see people play for maybe a cool vacation. Like they're going to Tahiti, they're going to the Bahamas, they're going to a roller coaster theme park. They don't want to go to a computer. Especially one that's like a cheap and maybe $800 computer or laptop worth $1,000. Wowie zowie. But it did remind me of Blockbusters, because this was a time with teenagers and high schoolers answering trivia questions. I think that's sort of fun and interesting. And I think there is room in the world of quiz shows to have a game show for high schoolers similar to Click, similar to Blockbusters, where they can play and it's very fun and they get along and all sorts of weird things happen and they make money. And it's not like a weird MTV game show like The Substitute. So that's going to do it for us here on Game Shows, I suppose. Thank you so much for tuning in. I know it was a quick episode. I'm sorry. There's not really much for me to say about Click other than Ryan Seacrest looks like shit. The gameplay is fun. The team's really interesting. And sometimes nobody wins. Also, it looks like it's all made out of milk cartons. All right, well, that's gonna do it. Good night, big smooch. Mwah!